Hi everyone, and welcome along to the Ergonomically Speaking podcast, the podcast that aims to help you reduce and even eliminate work-related discomfort. I'm your host, Niamh Pentney of Boyne Ergonomics. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really hope that you're able to take away some useful practical advice from this podcast to help you reduce your own risk of discomfort at the workplace or help manage the risks among the people that you might be responsible for. So now that we know why we're here, let's get started. Hello, hello, and welcome along to another episode of the Ergonomically Speaking podcast, where today I'm talking to you about workplace health considerations for women. So as you may or may not be aware, women in the workplace can often face unique challenges, different challenges, when it comes to their health and well-being. According to EU OSHA in 2023, women report less workplace accidents, but higher levels of work-related health issues. And from musculoskeletal issues to stress, there are just factors that put women at a higher risk compared to their male colleagues. So in recognition of International Women's Day, I wanted to shed some light on this topic and offer advice to employers to help create a safer and a more supportive work environment for all employees. The episode was prompted not only by the fact that it's International Women's Day, but also by a report that was published in August 2023. Now, it's been sitting on my desk since about September, and I only got around to reading it recently. The report is from the British Occupational Hygiene Society, and it's titled Uncovering the UK's Hidden Crisis in Women's Workplace Health. And after reading it, I just felt inspired to look a little bit deeper at this and put an episode together around this topic, because it really made for fascinating reading. So why are women at an increased risk of injury and ill health because of the workplace? The first to consider is biomechanical differences. So from a biological perspective, women are built differently. We know that than men. Women tend to have different body proportions, different muscle mass compared to men. And these differences can include wider pelvis, a greater angle, so the greater Q angle between the upper top ridge of the hip down into the patella, which is your kneecap. Women also tend to have shorter legs, and when they move, an internal rotation of the femur. Women generally, on average, have lower muscle mass for body weight compared to men. So men generally, on average, have about 35% muscle mass for body weight, whereas women tend to have 28% muscle mass for body weight. And the reason these things are important is this can impact how women interact with their work environment, how they move, the different types of strains that this can put on the joints and on the muscle groups. But that's something to be considered. Another factor is pregnancy and motherhood. So balancing work responsibilities during pregnancy and motherhood can put additional stress on the women's body. In any workplace, pregnant and postpartum workers are at increased risk of musculoskeletal discomfort simply due to the physical changes that can be associated with pregnancy and postpartum, fatigue, and psychological stressors. A third factor to consider is gender-based roles and expectations. So societal norms often influence the types of tasks that can be assigned to women in the workplace and even the sectors that women work in. So according to EU OSHA, back in 2014, 60% of women were employed across just 6 out of 52 sectors. And these sectors were healthcare and social services, retail, education, public administration, business activities, and hotels and restaurants. And if you have a look at these sectors, a lot of the tasks that you will come across in these areas will entail repetitive movements, awkward postures, heavy lifting, and stress. And all of this increases the risk of injury over time, particularly if it is compounded with other factors. The fourth factor to consider are the psychosocial factors. Women can and do experience higher levels of stress due to a variety of different factors in work, such as workplace discrimination, unequal treatment, or even the pressure to balance work and care responsibilities. And this chronic stress that this can cause will exacerbate muscle issues. It can exacerbate any underlying health issues and can even lead to further health problems. The next factor to consider is workstation design. So most workplaces in general and equipment is still designed with the male body in mind. And this might not adequately accommodate the female worker. So I'm thinking of seat pans that are too deep or too wide, ill-fitting chairs, desks that are set to an incorrect height and are not adjustable, and ill-fitting PPE. And these can all lead to discomfort and pain because it results, unfortunately, in the worker trying to adapt themselves to the workplace instead of being able to adapt the workplace to themselves. Another factor is workload and responsibility. So women are more likely to take on multiple roles, both at work and at home. According to the CSO here in Ireland, in quarter three of last year, 2023, in Ireland, women accounted for 41% of people in full-time employment, but 69% of people in part-time employment. And when I read that figure, I thought it was really interesting. And I think it can be or may be a reflection of the expectation or the need for women to take on caring roles or other roles outside of work, like in the household. And balancing career demands and household and caring responsibilities can lead to chronic stress, which, as you said before, can exacerbate any underlying issues. And actually, I find this one really ironic as I even read this out to you now. So today's date, the date I'm recording this, is the 10th of March. International Women's Day was the 8th of March. And I had originally planned to put this podcast together and get it out last week to time it up for International Women's Day. But due to being slightly under the weather, demands of the house, work demands and carer demands, it just meant that I am actually about a week late in doing it because trying to juggle everything, it just didn't happen in time. And I find that really, really ironic. And I absolutely understand what it is like to try and balance workload and responsibilities. And the final factor to consider is the hormonal factors. So hormone levels can fluctuate during the menstrual cycle, during pregnancy, during menopause, and this can impact muscle and joint health and fatigue levels as well, making women more vulnerable to pain and discomfort. But those are the factors that put women at an increased risk of injury, especially if you consider if you have female and male employees doing the same job with the same equipment in the same workspaces. These are the factors to consider that might just be putting the female employees at an increased risk of injury. So what can employers do to help? Well, I think importantly, the very first step is to actually recognise that workplaces don't present the same risks or the same degree of risk to all employees. And by simply just acknowledging that different demographics, different groups can be at an increased risk of injury doing the same job compared to their counterparts, you can start to develop a workplace that fosters development, inclusion and growth. So if we're looking at equity as opposed to equality, so providing the supports to allow every employee to work pain-free, to allow every employee to flourish and develop, as opposed to providing the same supports for everyone across the board. Because we have obviously now come to realise that it is not one size fits all. And that's where some of the problems arise when employers keep that frame of mind. So a few tips here, a few things that employers can do to help. The first one is provide ergonomic training. So educate the employees, especially managers and supervisors, about the importance of ergonomics and how to identify and address risk factors in the workplace. Offer training sessions specifically tailored to the needs of your different groups, including women. Another thing that's incredibly helpful is just offer appropriate adjustable workstations. So provide adjustable ergonomic furniture and equipment that can be adjusted to accommodate different body sizes and types. This includes adjustable chairs, adjustable desks, and monitor stands that can be adjusted so that any worker, regardless of their stature, can get into a comfortable, supported position. Another thing to do is encourage breaks and movement. So encourage employees and facilitate employees to take regular breaks and incorporate movement into their daily routine. So by facilitating movement, you do take the risk of static loading and muscle fatigue and aches and pains. You really, really bring that risk right down. Mobility is incredibly, incredibly important, but a lot of people find it difficult to build it into their day because of different demands and workloads and just the culture in different environments. So make sure that you are encouraging and facilitating employees to take regular breaks. It doesn't have to be for long. As I say to people, these micro breaks do not have to be for long, but they should be often. And for me, often means at least every 45 minutes. Like 45 minutes should be the longest anyone is static, even as sitting at a desk, before they have the opportunity to take a break, go get a glass of water, do something else. If it's a repetitive job, it might be changing tasks. But definitely encourage breaks and movement. Another thing to consider that is incredibly helpful is supporting work-life balance, recognizing the importance of work-life balance and providing resources that will help employees manage responsibilities outside of work. And this might be flexible schedule options. It might be remote working opportunities, or could even be access to childcare support services. But anything you can do that actually supports employees in managing their life outside of work as well as in work would be hugely beneficial, but not just for the employee, but for yourselves too, the employer. The next thing you can do is promote a culture of support. So by fostering a supportive and inclusive work environment where your staff feel comfortable discussing their needs and their concerns and letting you know if something's up, encourage open communication and provide these channels for employees to give you their feedback and suggestions for improvement. If women feel that they can discuss the issues that they're having, and if women feel that they can offer suggestions for ways that might help facilitate them in continuing doing their job, but also managing other issues, it's incredibly empowering, incredibly helpful. And finally, inclusive policies. So develop and implement policies that promote diversity, equity, and inclusion in the workplace, and ensure that you are including women in developing these policies. There's no point developing policies for women in work without including the people that are affected by these policies. And that goes for policies across the board. If you are developing policies to support a particular cohort or a particular demographic, you absolutely should include them in the process. Ensure that women have equal opportunities for advancement and are not disproportionately burdened with caregiving responsibilities. This year, 2024, the UN's team for International Women's Day was Invest in Women, Accelerate Progress, with the tagline that investing in women and championing gender equality turbocharges a future where everyone in society can thrive, creating a world of boundless opportunity and empowerment for all. And I absolutely love that tagline, because I can speak as somebody who has been in the workplace as an employee and is now in the workplace as a business owner. There are challenges that I do feel make it tougher for women. There are challenges that I do feel put extra stress and extra strain on women. And by adapting and helping women overcome these challenges and letting them thrive in the workplace, all it will do is help everyone rise. Massive. By taking proactive measures to have a look at the ergonomic concerns and supporting the well-being of all employees, including women, you can create a healthier and more productive workplace for everyone. Small changes don't all have to be massive. Small changes can make a big difference when it comes to promoting safety and comfort. And in doing so, you can help women in the workplace feel valued, supported, and help them thrive. I hope there was useful information in there for you. I just felt that after reading that report, I really wanted to get something out there because I felt the report really, really spoke to me. I'm going to put the links to all my sources will be in the blog post for this episode and in the episode description. The link for the blog will be in the episode description. As always, I'll put my social media handles in there too if you want to give me a follow. If anyone wants to reach out with any messages or any suggestions for upcoming topics, I'm always delighted to take them. My ears are always open. And until next time, everybody, stay well.